What's going on, y'all? It's your boy, Keepin' Mike. You're listening to 102.9 Tape Deck. And tonight, I'm going to minimize the music. You know, usually I'm known for the hip-hop, R&B, and all Cuban things and all Cuban stuff. But tonight, I'm doing something special. Last month, I went to a gala. It was a special event. It was a charity event. And I met some wonderful people. And one of the wonderful people that I have in the building today. You know, she had a speech there, and the speech that she had just briefly, the brief speech that she had there, you know, was very touching. I'm not going to lie, I was damn near in tears because it was so emotional and very powerful. And I really, really want to thank her for taking the time to come to the tape deck and tell her stories to you and yours and my audience. Ladies and gentlemen, I got Miss Lucia O'Kenny. How you doing, Lucia?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Mike? Thank you.
Thank you for coming, and thank you for taking our ride. How was that ride coming from New Hampshire?
It's an hour and a half and a little bit traffic, but we're here. We're very so excited to be here.
Yeah, and you also have I believe it's your daughter?
Yes, my daughter.
Hello, daughter. Hi, how you doing? Well, don't worry, I'm not gonna you're not on camera. Like, I'm gonna keep right there in the background. You're perfectly fine. Just I always like to acknowledge when the guest comes with a guest. So
yeah, I'm just here to support.
Your support, that's what's up, man. Mama love. I don't know where to begin because I had all these questions where I do have them. I usually do have them prepared, but sometimes I go off top. So we're going to do a combination of both. Lucia, you came from Sudan, correct?
Yes.
I guess we might get to it. How was life in Sudan before you came to the States?
Life is tough. That's why we left the country and find a better life.
Mm-hmm. And what was the situation with Sudan before you came over here?
Okay. The situation, country, we have a war between Sudan. It used to be Sudan.
Mm-hmm.
And the war happened because there we have the Christian and Muslim. So we are Christian people under the Muslim, and thing it didn't went well. So we have to split. The time I left Sudan, it was Sudan. After 9 years, I am in U.S. and became, we separate. So right now, I am from South Sudan.
Now part of my ignorance, because I want to get to know the situation with Sudan. Now, you say it was the north side and the south side, correct?
Yes.
You're from the north?
It used to be one, but yeah, I am from south.
Oh, you're from the south?
And, yes.
And is the south the one that practices Christianity and the north is Muslim, or is it the other way around?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And what was the conflict? How did that country split into half?
People from South, they feel like they're not getting, the country is not doing like equal. There is different. Everything like the North, they're controlling everything. And South Sudanese, they say no. So that's why the war happened. We want to be separate from North.
So was it the North that wanted to like separate themselves from the South?
Yes.
Okay. And that's the Muslim side, correct?
Yes.
All right. Now, I'm Cuban descent. So my parents come from Cuba, and there was a war, but it was like an internal war, which was like the government. So with my family, they had to leave. And unfortunately, it caused a split within my family, meaning if you're not supporting the government, you're basically not part of the family. Do you have family down? I mean, you're from the south side. Do you have family in the north side of Sudan?
We have family because we've been living together and it's mixed. People mix, but most my family from south.
So with the family up north, was there ever like a conflict because of the war?
Yes.
So what was that dynamic like? Because basically what happened with my family, it was like, okay, you're not with the revolution or the government, like basically you're the black sheep of the family. So what was that conflict like when it came to the family? So like, you know, like basically it's safe to say like the government split your family. Is it safe to say that? Like because of the rift that was within the North and the South, basically like your family couldn't get along because you had to pick a side?
Yeah, they think the most important thing, the people from North, they always want to allow the people to become a Muslim. So the people from South, they don't want that. And the government is from North. All the government, people in the government, then from North, and they're controlling everything. So the people from South, if you want to have a better life, you have to become a Muslim. And a lot of people, they don't want that. So that's why it split and it become a war. We need to separation between, we need to be out from North. We want to leave South Sudanese by itself.
So that must be very difficult because, living in the States, you're able to separate, you know, religion and even with politics. I mean, it might get tense, but you could like invite each other for Christmas and Thanksgiving or the case or whatever the case may be. But in your case, like once the war was on, it was on. It was like, no, it was like the family was cut off. You couldn't really speak to any of them. And you had to like, you know, pick a side. Was that the case that happened on your end?
Yes.
Wow. That's. So what was, I mean, can you give me like the trials and tribulation you went through in Sudan before you came over here? Because you said something powerful last month when I saw you at the gala.
Yes. What happened, when we left the country, we have to go to United Nations. And in Sudan, we can't do that. So you have to go like Kenya or Egypt. Mm-hmm. So what I did, I took my kid, 4 children, and I came to Egypt. The first day, the second day, I need to go to United Nations to tell them my case, why I left my country. So you get an application to fill it up, and they give you a 90 day, 3 months to come back for your interview. So I came through Egypt.
So, wow. So yeah, so pretty much like going to the UN is pretty much in a way seeking from some kind of like level of asylum?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Wow. And in the meantime, I mean, there was like a rift war. So is this a situation where you had to like be in hiding and hide yourself from your kids? Or you could be out in the open, just wait till you get a result?
In Egypt, different.
Okay. Well, I mean, I was talking about Sudan during the time when you were trying to escape Sudan.
Oh, yeah, exactly. People, the war in Sudan is really affects women and children because a lot of men, they went for war and the women with the children were running around where we can go to save ourselves. So that's why a lot of women, we go to Egypt, we go to Kenya, we go to Uganda to where we can get away to get out from Sudan to somewhere else to have a life. So where we go, we have to go to find the UN and they can help us for what we need.
So, I mean, you went from one situation to another. And when, with Sudan, I mean, I see the stuff on TV with the soldiers. Oh, I think you guys call them guerrillas. Is it guerrillas? Or is it the soldiers, the extreme soldiers that just do horrendous things to the people. So I could just imagine that they went through, I mean, do you guys have to deal with, like, you know, the possibility of being kidnapped and being tortured and stuff of that nature?
We see a lot.
Yeah.
We see a lot. Even we can't stop thinking about it. We see a lot. The women, a lot of things. Like I said earlier, the war affect women and mm-hmm. children. So the kidnapping, some people lost their children. Some people, a lot of things happening, and a lot of people die. To leave the Sudan, to come to Egypt or left to Sudan to come to Uganda is a lot of struggling to get help. So it's a lot. It's happening a lot to us as Sudanese until today.
Yeah.
A lot of people lost their family, their children, and we just thank God, you know, I am here with my kid. But a lot happened to us before to leave the Sudan.
Wow. I mean, that was then is like a story within itself. Have you thought about making a book?
I'm thinking about it. It's been a long time. I keep thinking I want to write a book, but I don't know when it's going to be done. But I have a lot to write. I want to have a book one day. That's my goal.
So you went to Sudan and you had to go to Egypt. And then to Egypt, you had to wait 3 months in Egypt to get a result?
Yeah, after 3 months, you have to go for interview.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first day you go there, you get application, you fill up the application, and they give you the yellow card, and they give you the day to come back. So I get my card, and I have 3 months to come back. And those 3 months, you have to put your case serious together. Because if you went for interview, thing didn't went well, I can't go back. I was trying so hard to not get rejected in an interview.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to leave. I want to take my kid and go somewhere to get a life. So 3 months, I've been practicing every day to not miss one word. And I have to be everything according to, don't miss anything in an interview.
Mm-hmm.
Don't mess up. So it took me 3 months. And the day I went for interview, my daughter, the one is in the room with us here today.
Hi daughter that's in the room. How are you?
She was 4 years old. And all of them, four, we went inside. They called my name and we went inside to interview. So soon as I want to sit down, she start crying because I was holding her up.
Uh-huh.
She start crying. So the guy, he told me, he said, just take your kid, get out.
Wow.
Take them, get out, because he was crying.
So he pretty much, because it was, I believe you told me you had four kids, right?
Yes.
Yes, and with all your four kids, they went to the UN, he saw you, saw the baby crying, and he pretty much said, here's your stuff, and just get out, because he saw the struggle that you went through.
Yes. What he said, because the baby started crying, I don't know, maybe he don't want the baby cry in the room,
mm-hmm.
or he want me to take the baby out and come back, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to take the baby, sit down, and baby start crying. So he told me, get up, go out, take them, take the kid, take the baby out. So I took my daughter and my three other, so I went outside and I started crying because I was waiting for this day. I was waiting for that day to get the result. And I sit out there and I try to make her quiet and we can come back in.
Mm-hmm.
So when we came back in, and the guy told me, he said, just go home and come back on Thursday morning. And all I know, nothing went well because I didn't talk about my case. I've been practicing for 3 months. And I go there to tell my story, and I can get a case and get accepted and get out from the Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened? I took my kid and I went home. I'm crying, and I went to work next day on Wednesday night, because before Thursday, Wednesday night, I went from work to UN,
mm-hmm.
because all was a night. They bring the the list outside. You can see your name in the morning on Thursday. So they have two lists. One is accepted, another one is rejected. And so when I went there after work around 7 p.m., I started looking for my name in the list of all the people get rejected, because I know myself. I didn't get he didn't ask me why I'm leaving my country. He didn't ask anything. Mm-hmm. So I know already I am not in the list. People accepted. So I find two boys there. And they say, sister, just come here. Check here. The list you in it is the people get rejected. And they don't know my story, because I know I feel like I am not accepted. So they keep saying, I don't want to listen what they're saying. And he say, give us your name. Just give us your name. Why you wanna looking your name in the list? So I give them my name. And the first thing, they run to me and say, sister, your name here, you get accepted. Mm. And I start crying because I can't believe it. And my name is 111, number 111. I never forget that number.
111.
111.
Wow.
So from there, I just run home, and my brother home, and my kid. I hold my kid and start crying. And my brother told me, say, what happened to at work? He didn't know what happened. And I told him, I said, I went to UN to see my name, and we get accepted. He can't believe me. Because mm-hmm. I told him a story. When we come back other day, the day the interview, I told him about what happened. So he went there and see it. And I can't believe she's so blessing. If it's not my daughter, I can't be in U.S. If it's not, she didn't cry, I can't be accepted. And because maybe I can be an actor bio mm-hmm. and mess up everything, because I was so scared. What I gonna say? And that's the only one day I'm waiting for that day. We're so tired in Egypt, cleaning houses for living. So it's tough life to live in Egypt. And I can't believe it. I get accepted because just my daughter cry, and the guy maybe feel like the baby's crying. Just take the baby outside. And next minute he say, just go home and come back on Thursday. So I get accepted because my daughter. That's what I got.
Wow. That's incredible. It's like a movie.
Yes, and I'm just telling you, from that day until today, she's so totally, if I can tell you, you can't believe what I can say. We came to U.S. She's totally different child. The way she carry herself, the way she doing his thing. And even I can tell you right now, right here.
Yeah.
If you heard about, I'm not saying the first pilot in U.S., but she is the first immigrant pilot in U.S. today.
Really?
Yes. The one you're seeing right there.
Yay. First pilot.
Immigrant. Yeah. Like, make it clear, the first South Sudanese immigrant in U.S. to become a pilot.
That's what's up. Okay, look, I know you're not the talkative type or whatever, but you got to come to the show sometime in this lifetime to, like, tell your pilot story. You pretty much made history. And your tears are the reason why you got here. Thank you for crying. And you were 4 months old, you know what happened, but thank you for your crying. Now we all here. That's what's up.
Yes.
Wow. All right, y'all, check it, man. We got so much to talk about right now, but we're going to go to a quick PSA right now. This your boy, Cuban Mike. I got my lovely friend Lucia in the building, and we got so much to get into, but let me get to this PSA really, really quick, y'all. All right, well, I'm going to give you like a minute or so of some PSA stuff, so go listen to them. We be back.
Here's a fun fact for you. The average chameleon can point their eyes in two different directions. On the other hand, the average human can't. So unless you're a chameleon, there's absolutely no way you can focus on texting and driving at the same time. So don't do it, unless you're a chameleon.
Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
This is a Black History Minute brought to you by BNN and WBCALP, honoring the contributions of prominent Black figures to the society. Shirley Ann Jackson, theoretical physicist. Dr. Jackson is the first African-American woman to have earned a doctorate at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, and second African-American woman in the United States to earn a doctorate in physics. For more on Black excellence, be sure to visit our website at bnnmedia.org and tune in to WBCALP 102.9 FM Boston, Boston's community radio station.
Hey everybody, it's time for today's STEM tip. Want to know how to make your selfies even better? Okay, let's use science. The best time for photos is golden hour. That's the moment right before the sun sets, when the atmosphere scatters blue and violet wavelengths, making perfect, soft, and golden selfie light to show off that beautiful face of yours. Click. Check out Chic and STEM for more inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
There goes some positive word for y'all, man. This your boy, Keeper Mike. You listen to 102.9 Tape Deck. I got my friend Lucia in the building. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fine. Are you enjoying yourself right now? You feeling comfortable? You feeling good?
Yes, I am very happy to be here. And thank you so much to welcoming me here.
Not a problem. Not a problem. Thank you for coming and sharing your story. Okay, I got to ask you this because you're telling me the story, and I'm going to say this right now. You remind me a lot of my mother to an extent because I want to share a quick story. My mother kind of got a similar story to yours because she left Cuba. And the one thing that you both have in common, you two were two women that did it by yourself. Because when my mother came, she came by herself and everybody was against her. With the exception of, you know, later on she met my father because they both kind of like came from the same struggle. But, you know, when my mom always told me the story of how she left, the fact that she did it by herself, there was a system she was against, everybody was against her. And not only were they were against it, they were not supported. And the first thing they told her, like, you as a woman, you're not going to make it alone in this country. You're not going to make it. You might as well just stick around, deal with what you have, because it's the best you're going to do out here. But, you know, my mother said, forget all this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to follow my heart. There's going to be no fear in my heart. There's going to be a couple of things that I'm going to go through, certain obstacles, but I'm going to leave this country because there's no future out here. And she made a promise to herself she will not have any kids in Cuba because just off the fact that they know that system not going to do anything for her babies. So I have to ask you, while you were going to your trials and tribulation, was there any fear in your heart, any hesitant, any support from your family as you were making this decision to leave Sudan?
What I can tell you, in back home in South Sudan, Sudanese, I can say it. When we grew up there, we married in a young age, and we go have babies and all. No support when I left my country. No support, and when I came to US, I follow my heart. I love a lot of people. What I saw back home is really, we all can come to US, but the first thing came in my heart, I need to help my people. I left back home. Mm-hmm. According to what I saw there, the children and women, they're struggling, so many bad things happen. So I try to come to U.S. and start to do something for people back home. And when I was here, I didn't see people against me until when I start organization called Southern Sudan Hope. And I start to go back home and support the children, support the women. That's the time I find out I am alone because a lot of people... you're not getting support if you're fighting harder to make something different. You will see a lot of people against you. That's what I find people, they're against me. That's the time when I started the organization. But when I left the country, I was young with a kid, and I don't know a lot. And that's what I find it different between when I was home and come to U.S. and started the organization.
And can you tell me about the organization?
Organization I started in 2016.
Oh, okay. Well, hold that thought. Before we get there, I want to backtrack something here.
Sure.
You told me you